I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, we've made it all the way to episode number 8. This is Losing Your Mind and Finding Yourself with Ian Fidance. He's fucking incredible. If you're not already listening to his podcast, you live under a rock. But at the end of this episode, I think he plugs a different one, which maybe is what it used to be called. I don't know. But he has an incredible podcast called Being Ian with Jordan. And it's co-hosted by this comedian, Jordan Jensen, who I have not met yet, but just watching the clips, and I've seen her stand up. She's so fucking funny. And Ian is so goddamn funny and amazing, and I love him. So make sure you check that out. And no more from me. Here is episode number 8 in the top 40 episodes of all time countdown with Ian Fidance. Okay, so you guys were talking about if we get sick of talking about mental illness stuff. And here's how I feel is that, like, the difference in saying I have depression or I have bipolar disorder and going I am bipolar is, like, so subtle, but it's almost like you're telling yourself this is who you are instead of this is a thing that I have in my brain that fucks with me.
Yes.
And so it's like you become like, oh, well, I'm just... Theoretically, I'm not saying you do, but you could become like, well, I'm just depressed and that's how it is.
Right, yeah. The difference between am and have is very important. And also I noticed, in a way, like, talking about it almost keeps you accountable.
Yeah, because...
for those things, like, especially because I'm an alcoholic and I used to never talk about it. I used to never tell anyone because I was afraid...
If they saw you slip up, then it's...
Well, no, I was afraid if they knew, they'd leave me, because that's like a thing of like, ah, oh, dude, you're fucked up. You know, so I never talked about being fucked up.
This was when, before you were sober? Or even
after?
No,
this was after, I was living in a halfway house when I started comedy. I never told anyone in comedy, I never talked about it on stage. I was living in a halfway house, I was fucking sober, it fucking sucked. And I was afraid people would be like, oh, what a fucking loser. Oh, whatever, this guy sucks, I don't want to be around him. And so...
Damn.
I noticed when I talked about it and when I would talk about it on stage, it held me accountable.
Yeah.
In a way that made it more real and visible, to the point where I had to be like, oh, okay, this is what I think for alcoholism. I have to be like, this is what I am. I am an alcoholic and I have to address that. And I think to a certain extent, you got to say, I am depressed. I am bipolar. I have to address it. I do have these things.
Of course.
They don't make me who I am. But they don't define me, but they do define a part of me that I need to address and healthily take care of, or else it's going to get the better of me.
That's true. I guess it just depends on how you handle it. I guess I just worry about...
Right.
This is my own projection of, at a certain point, becoming that person that just goes, well, I'm just an alcoholic, and that's how it is.
Right. Well, there's a difference between, like, going through something, coming out, and speaking of it in the past tense.
Yeah.
And being, like, drunk and being like, I'm an alcoholic. I used to be sober. And everyone's like, ew, get your shit together. Like when someone, like, is on stage and they're like, I'm depressed. I'm currently sad. It's
and everyone's like,
shut up.
Well, that's the thing too, is even when you try to do material on depression, sometimes it's like, because you can write jokes about depression when you're in it or when you're out of it. But I found with my stuff, sometimes stuff I wrote where I was like, I'm good now, but here's how I was. Every once in a while, I'm trying to do that same material and I'm actually in a funk and it's just the audience is,
right.
Oh, she's like really sad.
Well, I just came out of a thing and I noticed.
The thing? Was it a massage parlor?
I came out of that last night. Something else came too.
Oh, no.
So,
wait, can we talk about this?
Okay, yeah.
Can we just jump? Like, let's just derail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Where do we start?
The question are STDs transmittable by mouth? In under 2 seconds.
In under two? Wow.
In under 2 seconds.
This lady's impressive.
I didn't come in two seconds. No. God damn. No. She put her... I was getting a massage and there's...
Totally
a, there's
innocent.
There's a special body language that you use.
You grab their thigh.
No. You don't grab at all. When they are touching and grabbing you around your butt, you kind of point it in the air and go, oh. So, or,
oh, that's the secret code.
So then they know, oh,
a cartoon
he likes it.
Of a horny guy.
Ooh,
there's a secret language. Putting your butt in the air
And presenting yourself. Yeah, you got to peacock a little
and
let them know you want your feathers tugged. You know, just tugging feathers.
So you got plucked.
I got plucked. No, but I was just like, yeah, man, I'll fucking take a handy. Why not?
A little rub tug.
This fucking lady, she fucking turns me over and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get the old hand special. As I got my eyes closed and all of a sudden she puts her mouth on my penis. No, I had my eyes open. I could tell she was getting it because she went down and she kissed my penis.
She was getting wily. Oh, did you think that that was some sort of ritual?
She went... like a little like
that
like,
must be what she does before she jerks it off.
Like she dropped me off at school and was like, "Have a good day."
Oh my
like that's
god,
that's what it was. And so she kissed it, and I went, "This lady's on watch. This is a bit much, you know." And I didn't go, mm-hmm.
"How dare this woman who responded?"
I didn't give the verbal clue. I didn't pop up. I popped down. I didn't pop down.
Sounds like, did your dick pop down? Or was your dick like, "We respond to touch. I don't care who she is or what your standards are."
My dick was like,
are.
"What? She could have facial burn scars." And you'd like, still be like, "All right,
that was a kiss."
Yeah.
Dicky happy.
And so when I turned around, I had my eyes open, and she was kind of like touching or whatever, you know, trying to get the old mill working. You know what I mean?
Oh, God,
I don't know what I mean.
Work.
I was searching. so
the old mill. What's wrong with your dick?
Nothing. She was trying to get me hard. And so she, I looked and she put her mouth on my penis. And I went, no.
No. You shamed her.
I object. Objection.
No, thank you.
And, and she went, no. And I went, no, thank you.
Was she deeply hurt?
No, I mean, I imagine she'd probably be relieved.
Like, oh, thank God. Yeah. And then one of her teeth fall out.
Right? Oh, God. She had some dirty Chinese teeth.
Dirty Chinese teeth.
Yeah.
I am going to take that.
You know, like, when you look at a Chinese construction worker, and they're just chain smoking, and then you see their teeth, and they're just all tarred up?
Oh, I think my mom has dirty like Chinese teeth.
She was wearing any hat she was ever given.
My mom does
squatting,
wear
squatting, smoking long white cigarettes.
My mom wears hats all the time. She has like short hair and she chooses to wear ball caps. And I'm not kidding. I had a friend meet her and she was hanging out with my family for a week. And she's like, "Does your mom have cancer?"
No.
And I told my mom because I thought it was funny. And my friend was so mortified
that
I told my mom.
No, she's just cancer cosplaying.
Yeah, no, she just does that. My mom loves hats so much that she has dangly earrings that are ball caps.
No.
That she wears with her ball cap because they match.
Wow. She like molested while wearing a ball cap or something?
I don't know.
And so
I should
now
ask
that like
her.
Is a thread throughout her life.
I love my mom. Yeah, she's such a character, though. Yeah.
So is mine.
She's definitely a mess, but well, she was.
Hey,
she's responsible for some of my quirks, but
you know. Yeah.
I forgot the point of this. Oh, Chinese dirty teeth. Okay, wait. So you stopped her, but you're still worried that you're like, what if?
Yeah, like can
you get herpes?
Like when you drop food on the ground, it's not really dirty for the split couple seconds
it's
on the ground.
Five second rule.
But with the mouth, is there a 5 second rule?
I think so.
Right?
Because you have stuff constantly in there, like killing bacteria.
Well, I was really trying
like
to
a dog's mouth
look her
clean.
In the teeth. I was looking at that gift horse in the mouth. I was really looking in there to be like, does she have any discernible signs?
Oh my God.
Like when she hugged me and gave me the water afterwards, I was like, what would you like if you were drinking water? Let me see.
And you're just like staring at her mouth to see if there's any open sores.
I just looked like she didn't have any open sores. She was all right. She just had dirty teeth.
None, as if like.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just one.
I don't think her tongue went on it. It was just like her lips didn't have anything. But lady, what are you doing?
Well,
I didn't say yes.
I mean, maybe that place is known for that, and you're the fuck up.
No, I've been there before.
Didn't you get on Rub Maps or whatever? Is that a thing?
What?
Somebody once told
me
there's like a secret website.
Let me tell you.
To find the rub and tugs.
The government got rid of Backpage, and I didn't know they got rid of Craigslist Casual Encounters, and I was trying to troll the other day at like 6 a.m., and I went on Casual
what
Encounters.
What happened while you were in your celibacy
I haven't
phase?
Felt sadness. Oh, I'm off the rails.
Oh, I know, but I feel like that went away while you were... How long were you celibate?
Since November. From November to May.
Oh, wow. And you just broke, like, pretty recently.
Yes.
Because it's May.
Yeah, I know. It's like this pollen
and you went on the
Michael Jackson from Thriller.
So wait, yeah, you're on Craigslist's back page, so you went from like 0 to 100 pretty quick.
I signed up for Grindr in a heartbeat.
Oh my gosh. Oh, because you're a bisexual.
Yeah.
So have you been on Grindr before?
Never.
How's that?
A whole new world.
It's so different than talking to women on dating apps,
it
right?
It is insane. It is the snap of the... It's like seamless for fucking.
Well, my soul
you just
like,
get them to show up. Yeah, it's insane.
They come, they eat,
insane.
They leave.
Yeah. They bring you a meal.
Fuck. It's just like
it's
men
insane.
Sending buttholes and dicks.
I mean, I can show you.
Do you? I mean...
It's insane.
We'll
especially because my tag on there is like dom top for sissy bottom.
So that's is that what you're into?
Yeah, I like being the dominant one.
Yeah.
Even in my relationships with women.
Yeah,
I'm
but
dominant.
Do you actually want like Because sissy's like that. There's an actual sissy fetish.
Well, I like feminine men. I don't like super like effeminate men, but I like a feminine quality. Like I don't like hair.
Okay.
I like.
You like boys that look almost like girls.
Yeah, and I'm into trans women. So it's like I'm like so close to just being with only women, and then something happened in the gestation period.
Where you're just like, but dicks.
But also black dancers.
I mean, I think everyone, if they're being honest with themselves, is into black dancers.
Dude, can I tell you, before I was like out, so there's this shitball club in the city called LOL. And
oh, I forgot about that.
Right? And right now, it is in, I mean, it's like a shit comedy factory. Like, the place they're at now is an old strip club in Times Square.
Jesus.
There are three different rooms where they're running shows.
Doesn't it just look like a weird
throughout the night? The manager
room?
I've gotten fights with before. I don't work there any longer because they stopped paying cash and they moved a check that you get every 2 weeks.
And it bounces.
And yeah, right. And they cut my pay one night for a show that got canceled and I was supposed to host. They're like, well, we're not paying you. I was like, yo, fuck you.
That's not the deal.
Showed up. So
you're like, I'm not the promoter.
Dude, the manager sucks. And his
fuck you.
Dude, his name's Roy. And
fuck you, Roy.
I had worked there for so long and he never pronounced my name. And he was like this effeminately
how did he fuck up your name?
Queer man that would wear like boas but would have like an assistant that was, you know, Will Ferrell in, when he was Mugatu?
Yes.
And his assistant was like Todd. And
oh
and everyone
God.
Was like, dude, just come
on. Out.
And so he would go, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to LOL Comedy Club. Please welcome your host as we present to you Einan Findant.
What?
And I'm like, Roy, Einan you've Findant. Known me for a while. It's Ian Findant.
How
Findant.
Do you fuck up Ian?
Einan Findant.
Is he crazy?
Dude, he banned someone from the club one time because he fucked someone's name up on the announcement, and the host went up and was like, give it up for Ray Fadabingbu. Like, he just, like, made up his last name, and he's like...
And he's like, you're fired!
Don't you dare disrespect me!
Did he do it over the speaker? Because that'd be so funny.
I don't know. Maybe
you're fired!
You're fired!
Dismiss yourself from my corporation.
Todd, lick my feet.
Oh, my God. Todd!
Yeah, but that place sucked. But at the old place... Yo, so there were other rooms for shows. There were like four different, but in between shows, like before certain shows, they would rent it out as a dance studio. And one day,
oh my God.
One day I went in the wrong room and I opened the door and it was all black dancer men. And literally I went, it was like,
you're
I
like
opened the door to
with
heaven.
How excited you didn't like, know you'd
and,
be.
And ever all the other comics, nobody knows. And I'm like, there's a bunch of fucking pegs in there. Oh, jeez.
Was this before you were out?
Yeah.
When did you come out?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty recently?
Yeah, like October, like 2016.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Did you know that you were bisexual for a long time and not say anything? Or did you just kind of go like, wait a second?
Oh, I thought I was like gay, like I like secretly gay, like so much like inner hatred and anger and like
really?
Shame and guilt.
But did you not like women?
I loved women.
So
I
were you
dated
like, I'm
women.
So confused.
I've been like, it was so confusing because I would like, I've had girlfriends, always fucking hot chicks, always all the time, girlfriends, banging around town.
It just sounds like you're lying.
I know.
Always,
I know. Always,
hot chicks,
always,
fucking
hot chicks,
girls. They're banging around
they're,
town.
They're wet. Things get wet. I love wet pussies.
Vagina. Woo, 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 woo.
Love licking vulva.
La la la.
But yeah. And I just like, I mean, the shame and everything of like, I can't be gay. I can't fucking be gay. I'm
you
not
like
gay.
Felt you like you don't didn't want to be a gay person.
I thought it was like evil. I thought it was like wrong.
Would you grow up in a religious household?
Well, not a household, but I went to Catholic school.
Oh.
I wanted to be a priest when I was younger.
Well, that
like,
makes sense.
I read my Bible. When
did
my,
you get touched?
When I wanted to get no, I fucking am kind of angry about that.
Yeah, no, that's how I wonder if there are like altar boys who are like.
I was
not?
An altar boy.
Yeah, why you're like
was
why
not good
me?
Enough? Huh?
Why not me?
I mean, I was criminally ugly as in middle school.
I'm just picturing you as like a slutty altar boy with like your little like dress lifted up the like robe.
Yeah.
And you're like, oops.
Yeah, I like to get the body of Christ. I'm on my knees with my tongue out.
Just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Instead
thank
of
you, Father,
you call him Daddy. Mm. Thank you, Daddy
Thank
Smith.
Thank you, Daddy.
Or whatever, Father Farrell or whatever.
No, but I when I would get in trouble when I was younger, my parents would take away, like, my picture Bible, you know? Like, I was, like, such a queer little...
Oh, you were, like, a little religious...
Yeah, like, I loved nut. God. Loved God.
God.
Yeah. And so, like, I had all these conflicting things inside me because I loved
women,
too.
Because you're like, God's going to be so mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go to hell.
Oh, yeah. And all my relatives are dead. So it was, like, they're all watching me
and were you,
be
like, in
evil.
Your well, it's like, yeah, well, that makes me go, like, okay, but if we die and there's a heaven... Do we get to suddenly see people's thoughts?
Well, that's the thing. I was close to this priest in high school, and he told me, and I never told him what it was, but I was like, hypothetically, if I do bad things sexually, is my dad angry at me in heaven? And he was like, well, the concept of heaven is total happiness, and nothing you could do on earth would make the people in heaven unhappy.
Because
that
part
negates the idea of heaven. And I was like, oh, interesting.
You're like, so nothing?
So now I'm going to go suck my friend's dick in his car after school. So I'm gonna go to my heaven.
Wait, but so you thought you were fully gay? You weren't like, why do I like women?
I
Are you
know.
Gay?
No, you're not? I'm not. That's the thing. Like, I don't want to be like, I want to be intimate with women. Like, I want to like...
Love
eye
women.
Contact and love and sniff your armpits
you
and ear
men.
And like I want to passionately love a woman, but I want to fuck the shit out of a dude.
Literally, sometimes.
Jessica, please.
Does that happen?
Yes, it does. And you know, condoms are important.
That's
go,
like
all right, man.
Diseases aside,
I always
you
I,
are gonna
I'm
get boo boo
with guys. Always,
never
always.
With women.
Never. I mean, well, if I got a monogamous thing, I won't wear condoms.
Well, yeah,
and
if you're
I'll
both,
wear condoms
you like know each
else.
Other. Yeah,
and I get tested every couple months.
Good.
And I'm very upfront. I've ruined hookups because I've been like, just to let you know, I was tested a couple months ago. Are you clean? And they're like. What, do I not look clean? Fuck you. And I'm
and
like,
you're like,
all right,
okay, well, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is such a like weird thing to ask, but it's the responsible thing to ask. And you're like, yeah, no, of course I'm asking. Why wouldn't?
Right. Yeah, I feel like I'm very responsible sexually.
Yeah.
Bad, sorry.
Rude. I don't think you guys could even probably hear that. His phone going off. It's probably a booty text. Is it Grindr?
Right. No. Oh my
it's
God.
Just a picture
fucking
of a dick.
Grindr. Jesus.
Okay, so you insane. Think. So men for you, it's like a carnal sexual thing.
Totally
You just
primal,
see their like muscles and
totally
their strong butts. And you're like,
primal.
I want one to squeeze around my penis.
I mean, yeah, if you want to say that. Yeah.
So like if you, like you see yourself, do you see yourself ever settling down and like getting married at all?
I don't know.
I was going
to
say, but if you
it'd
did, you think you would be with
terms.
A woman?
I know it would be with a woman.
Because you like intimacy with women. Yeah, because...
But she'd have to be cool with me stepping out with a trans gal or like a guy every once in a while.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, yeah. Here's the thing is, I go back and forth with that because I sometimes don't know if my idea of wanting an open relationship is some sort of self-worth, like thinking I won't be enough for one person. Or if it's just like, yeah, no one's enough for one person. I don't know if it's logical or if it's like a self-esteem thing.
I don't think one person is enough, especially
forever.
With our access to technology and so many things in our heads all the time now with all these distractions and like dopamine drips that are going on when someone likes a thing or like
yeah.
a picture, you're seeing these things. It's like totally not feasible. And I think what I would love to do, and I feel that a lot of people can relate, is to just be open and honest and
honest.
Communicative and be like, look, I love you, but I'm going to have to go out and do these things every once in a while. And it's got nothing to do with you. My allegiance is to you.
Would you be okay with the other person doing it?
I mean, if there was that level of honesty and communication,
yeah, like,
I'd just be like, baby, I'm going to be here. You come back, wash your pussy because I'm going to eat it. And don't tell me about it.
Yeah. So you
tell me about when you're going out. And if you start to go out and it's like the same guy, then I'm going to be like, yo, what the fuck is up? But
yeah.
It's like, because I'll never go back to the same guy or like the same
person
whatever.
If it's just a hookup.
Yeah. Because it is just this carnal thing that I'm like attracted to.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like the key to any, obviously the key to any good relationship is open, honest communication.
But, it's
but even
tough.
If you go in and you're like, okay, we're together, but like if it's, I think I would go in and be like, it's us. But like if at some point this isn't enough, I just need you to talk to me about it and we'll figure it out
right.
from there.
But it's
instead
so
of
honesty,
flying.
Honesty in any regards is tough because the risk with honesty is getting the result of what you don't want. Because honesty doesn't care about wants or needs. Honesty only cares about the truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes the truth hurts. And sometimes the truth is not what you want. So a lot of times, like, we need to give ourselves more credit for knowing deep down what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And listen to ourselves. But then we go to other people and we go, well, what do you think about this? Do you think I should do this? Because you want them to co-sign that part in you that's like, do the thing that you know is not the right thing.
Oh, yeah. I have, like, almost ended some friendships. I'm not saying in, an abrupt way, but I'm almost completely done with a few people who will ask me things. And I'm like, I will never be the friend that gives you the thing you want to hear because you want to hear it.
Never, never.
And then I'm like, if you're going to make me a bad person because I told
you
this is a bad idea.
I never
want
to hear the thing that I want to hear. And I really try to catch myself on going to other people to get, like, that little sick part of me that's like,
Validate this.
Because I think friends are just... at a certain point, I think when you're younger and then it changes when you're older, but friends are just people that co-sign your own bullshit.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
When I think finding a good friend is like...
Someone that's like, yo...
Don't do that shit.
A buddy of mine, he goes... We're hanging out and he goes, hey, man, I'm not here for your bullshit today. I know you want to, like, you know, talk about you, but we came to hang out and I want to do that. And I was like, dude... fucking love you. Thank
good.
You. I need that.
Yeah, so sometimes you need someone to go like, not now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for you at a certain time and now is not the time.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And
that's
I do
so important.
Need the people I consider the best, closest friends are the ones who will go, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would rather have someone go, that's a, absolutely that's a horrible idea than someone just goes, you know, like, what a, yeah, you know, if it makes you happy, if it's something that's terrible.
Right.
But, some people only want to surround themselves with people who will be like, yeah, no, that's the...
Oh, for sure, and it's
yes,
empty,
man.
You know?
It's fucking gross.
But I think that's... I think honesty and communication is important in any type of... And that's something I really got to work on because... Because
you're a liar?
No, I'm not... Well, I mean, I was a liar through omission my whole life about being...
Bisexual.
Bi, yeah. You know, and that was... You know, everyone would always be like, you know, you're so... sincere and honest and
that
and
ate away at you?
And I would be like, you don't know the real me, you know? And I think that fed into a lot of my drinking, too.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Do you think that, like, you drank to, like, shut that part of your brain off where you felt so guilty?
Yeah. You know, and I use that as a coping mechanism to run, you know?
Yeah.
Because anytime something was felt, I was like, I don't want it, whether it was, like, pain from my past, depression, being bipolar, which I didn't know about until later.
Oh, wow.
I just thought everyone gets fucking sad and hibernates and fucking angry and has these mood swings, and then you just deal with it.
Yeah, it's so hard figuring out what is, quote, normal emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Because so many people have different things.
For sure.
And when then sometimes, like, just the philosophical part of my brain, I mean, I obviously think that, like, mental health is a big thing and people need to, like, be aware of their things and figure out if they need meds, etc. But sometimes I'm like, well, how much is a disorder and how much is, oh, you're not like the cookie cutter human that we've decided we all are.
Right, right.
Because it's like, sometimes I'm like, are we just, this is how we've evolved? And
right.
Sometimes I scream.
Yeah.
And sometimes I cry.
And that is okay.
Yeah, that's the
That is okay.
We're socialized to be like, everything's good.
For sure. And I think it's a very Anglo thing, too, where it's very much a part of, like, Anglo culture to be like, we don't talk about that. Let's talk about something else.
Positive.
We don't need to talk about that. Please stop. Stop. Like, I was very and I got cues, you know, as a child when, you know, because my dad died when I was 8.
Yeah.
And so.
Was it, like, abrupt?
I
mean, I'm sure it was, but I didn't. You don't have to talk about it. Never mind.
Yeah, it was a bad accident.
I mean,
it was
like
a freak accident.
Either way, it's like,
right.
Was it slow?
No,
why
no,
did I ask
was,
you that? I'm sorry.
It was like, no, it's all right. But it was a very abrupt. My aunt had died the day before, and then
fuck,
he died the next day, and it was like, it was
what
a
else?
Complete total out of nowhere, whatever. So, it's okay. It'll be 25 years on the 20th. Just like a mind fuck,
crazy.
Dude. And his birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday!
It's like
I yelled at the
total
sky.
Total mind fuck, man.
Yeah.
To have like friends that are younger than my dad's death age.
Oh, now, yeah. Now, are you? Have you been alive longer without him?
Yeah, I was
with
8.
Him, right? Yeah,
yeah, oh. At 16. I
don't know how math works. No,
I barely do, too. It's all right.
Yeah.
But I noticed this thing where when you get upset as a child and the adults get upset around you, you feel that they're upset
because
of you.
Like, you did this. Now you're making everyone sad.
You did this, and you're ruining everyone else's mood, so you don't ever ruin moods.
Yeah.
You always make other people's moods good. Yep. And so that, like, and also, I was so afraid of, like, this thing of being, like, honest about, man, I don't know what it is. Like, how do you articulate? Like, I like pee-pees.
Yeah,
know?
How,
like,
do you talk about
and
it?
Then
when it's just not a thing that's even in your...
Right.
Because people go, a man and his wife.
Right, right.
So and, you go,
yeah,
ah.
And so, like, dude, I had relatives on my mom's side that, like, we'd go to the beach and the guys would be, like, kissing. And they'd be like, look at that over there. Isn't that disgusting? And I'm like, yeah, it's disgusting how fucking hard I'm getting right now.
Oh, I got to go in the water.
But I was like, oh, God, if I tell these people these things, they're going to leave me. I don't
My
want anyone to ever leave me again.
Yeah, like, yeah. I've been left so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So, like, you know, totally. And then I had a thing with this guy.
Was it like a secret, like, thing?
It was like suburban Brokeback Mountain, dude. We would get in fights in front of people and then, like, secretly meet up and fucking straight up, like... It was crazy from like
what?
11 to 24.
Oh, you like were in love with this guy.
Oh, yeah. But every time I would try to like be like intimate, it would be like, what are you, a faggot? Get out of here. No.
And oh, like, wow. He's
and like, he tried to kiss me one time. I was like, what are you doing? Don't do that. Because I was like so scared and nervous. And then like in public, we would like hate each other and fight. And then like
you were like enemies in public?
Yeah, I mean, very indifferent, but in grade school, we got in, like, fist fights and everything.
My God, it's
in
like
front of
white moonlight.
Yeah.
Is that
and
what
he
that
was
movie
black.
Was called?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It was like half white was moonlight,
half
right?
Half white moonlight. Yeah,
is that
it was
that
just
movie?
Moon, not moonlight. It was part of it.
It
was Dark Side of the Moonlight.
Sun and moonlight.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was wild, man. Wild. And then, dude, we like... stopped talking for a while and I would like get drunk and like call him
oh.
and stuff. And then, you know, I swear to God, after like in college, she became part of like a pyramid scheme and
oh,
was
no.
like into like selling energy drinks. Like, if you buy 20 packs and sell 18, you'll get this money. So let me tell you how
what a
many
bullet you
fucking
dodged.
Marriott conference rooms I went to learn about this stuff just so I would have an excuse to call him and be like, so I got those drinks coming. When are you going to
really?
Be home again?
Yeah, you loved him.
I had so many of these fucking packs of energy drinks stacked up in my apartment that I just didn't give a fuck about.
Things we do for a while.
Yeah.
Have you talked? When's the last time you talked to him?
I mean, dude, he's married. He's got a kid.
Family.
He just got like rebaptized as an adult.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's just never coming clean.
Who knows? But hey, man, if that's happy for him, who am I to define someone's happy?
Yeah, that's 100% true.
You're not hurting someone else, you know?
Do you think about him still all the time? Just every once in a while when you're drunk? Oh, you don't drink. You're
no,
sober.
I don't drink. I'm sober.
Like, I had to quit drinking because I kept
but,
thinking about it when I was drunk.
Yeah, right. No. I mean, it was so much more than that. But it was like, yeah, I mean, I will, you know? But it's like I don't ever want to think about any other guy that way.
Intimately.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, do you think you're actually not interested in that? Or do you think that was like so hard and painful that you're like, I've shut that part of me trying to connect with a man off?
I don't know.
Like, do you think it's like, does your family know you're bisexual?
Yeah.
But it's like real casual. Not
yeah,
as
they,
far as
they don't care. That's the thing. Well, everyone that is like bigoted and awful, we don't talk to anymore.
Oh, okay.
And not because of that, through like other terrible
other
shit they did. Yeah.
Because like, if you're bad about one thing, you're probably a bad person about
terrible,
a lot of things.
Right. And so like, I would have family that like, when Facebook came out, I liked like equal marriage or what was it? Gay equality. Like
gay.
What was it? Gay marriage or whatever, right? My aunt called me and was like, why would you like that shit? What are you doing?
Really? It's like, why are you paying so much attention to what I like?
Yeah, I mean, I was getting, like, signal. And they're, like, not good. I mean, you know, the one uncle that was, you know, homophobic and all that shit. Racist. He fucking blew his head off. So it's like, you know, there was shit going on there. That,
you keep all your truths tucked in.
Yeah.
It'll
make
you crazy.
Yeah. He shot his head off. It was just a blood splatter of a rainbow flag.
In the shape of a dick.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, honestly, I spent so much of my life hating this shit and like, why am I this way? I wish I wasn't. La la la. Now I'm like to the point. I've been in therapy for like 3 years straight.
Yeah,
I've been
good
seeing
for you
like
for
therapists
staying.
And shit my whole life. But I like Matt Damon it.
I
you
leave
know?
Therapists.
Yeah. Oh, dude. One time I put pen marks on my arm and told him I was doing heroin just so I wouldn't have to like. I was in seventh grade. Just so I wouldn't have to like talk about real shit. You know, it was just so surface for years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been in like deep shit for the past 3 years. And
good
dude, I am so fucking happy and grateful that this is my life and all this shit happened and I am
who I am.
I am what I am because it made me this and I'm happy with
so
this.
So you're
today.
Now at a point of like now I have acceptance
for sure. And I want to do, especially with my comedy, is to let other people know it's okay to accept and love. And
are.
I want to like give everyone a big hug every time
that.
I do stand up.
No, me too. And it's like, I feel like when I try to talk about things that are the dark, quote, dark parts of me or the things that are maybe taboo.
So everyone's got them.
That's the thing is that, and I talked about this recently, maybe on my own podcast, but there's this culture and maybe it's a very LA thing probably, but this positivity movement of like, accept this and like, I'm love, I'm light, which is fine. But it's like, I feel like they're ignoring the darkness. And it's like, no, you gotta like, I view the dark parts of me as like another version of my inner child where it's like, don't ignore, like you have that darkness because you're trying to shove it down. And it's just this thing that's like, I'm just here. I don't know if this is so corny, but
no, it's not corny.
You kind of got to go like, yeah, no, I'm not perfect. And this is also who I am. And that's okay. It's okay to have moments where you're dark or moment. It's okay to be out of the quote social norm because the social norm is fucking dated and stupid.
Well,
we're kind of getting away from it now, so it doesn't matter.
The social norm, I think, is such a trap where it's, you know, you go to school, you get your degree, you meet someone, you get married, you have kids. The kid is then your life and this
and then
that.
You're like, I hope the kid does something great.
Oh, my God.
But don't take any risks, kid.
Yeah, it's so funny to see people like that were like outcasts in high school now having kids and like from birth trying to make the kid cool or like posting pictures of the kid and like cool outfits or like I'm with her and the kid like is shitting himself.
Yeah, that's dude, when people put their very young kids in political shit.
Oh, it disgusts
it's
me.
Well, it just to me what it does is
it's
highlights
religion.
The fact
it's
we
like, parents
it's like oh
doing
we were all brainwashed and I didn't realize that. It's like, oh, my beliefs came from my parents going, this is the
form.
Truth, this is how it should be
for sure.
Let's lean a little into your, let's talk about your bipolar. So you're what, bipolar?
Oh, can we,
can we, can you? Okay, so you said you recently gave up your celibacy. Is that, do you think you're giving that up from a totally healthy place? Or are you maybe, it's a manic thing? Sorry. Ian's texting. Probably a booty text.
Well, no.
He's probably
no.
having booze secretly
Sorry,
delivered to his.
A dick pic made out of a vodka bottle.
Like
I would only drink my vodka out of dick.
But it's just your limp penis in the inside of a bottle. Like, it's art.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that very like valid and important question that I totally ignored?
I've already forgotten it. Oh, so you were celibate from November to May. Did you go, okay, I'm ready to start putting myself out there in a healthy way? Or have you just like cut that and you're like, fuck it, I need something. I need
no,
to fill the void somehow.
Healthy, because I use sex and I get addicted to sex and love. And I have the 12 steps of SLA in my wallet.
Yeah. As like an avoidance, you think? Or to...
As an avoidance, as... I mean, I would use everything to avoid facing myself. I used alcoholism a lot because it's always this thing of like, I'd constantly fuck up because then you go, I can't dig deep down. I got to get another day sober, man. Hey, I can't dig deep down. I got to stay off. Hey, man, another day sober. Congrats.
So it's like you focus on the little thing.
Yep.
Oh, that's so many people in programs like that.
Yep. And
where
then
they
you do
this
that.
Is just their new thing to obsess over instead of actually. It's like, oh, yeah, you're got to focus on your steps. Cool. Where's that fearless moral inventory you're supposed to make?
Well, I was doing all those steps, and I kept fucking up. And I've taken the things I learned from those programs and I applied them to my life. Like helping another person, that helps so much because it gets you outside of your own spin cycle.
Yeah.
You know, and I truly do feel good helping others.
Sometimes you need to.
Right, but then you got to help yourself.
When you're a people pleaser, I'm like this. I don't know about you, where it's like at a certain point, I'm avoiding my own things by love. What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I help you?
Yep.
And it's like, meanwhile, my insides are on fire. And I'm like, no, sure, I'll write your packet for you.
Yeah. Well, that translates to my relationships because as a kid, and I'm learning as a kid, I had to take care of my mom. I had to take care of the people around me. And I
was my mom's mom.
I was responsible for the emotional well-being of
the world around you.
Yeah. And I need to be responsible for my well-being today. Yep. And I use women in relationships because I want to be the one that's responsible for making you better.
Yeah. I do that with men. That,
you know,
I'll fix you.
Yeah.
I'll help you. And then it's like I'm not working on me again.
Dude, I got to have a relationship and it was so freeing because I admitted what I was doing and I was like, I have to take this step for myself.
Yeah,
and it fucking sucks, man. Hurting someone,
so you
breaking
don't hurt
up someone.
With someone. It's breaking up with someone when there's nothing that has like a thing that's been done wrong is the fucking worst because you're just like, I can't.
I'd rather get broken up with than hurt someone I truly love.
Me too.
You know, it's really tough.
It's so hard. But I don't know if. It sounds like you might be the same. I realized the last relationship I got into, I thought I was in a healthy enough place to like, oh, I'm not going to repeat that pattern of I get so codependent. Are you happy?
Right.
How can I make you happy? That like I fucking just let myself dishevel.
Well,
and like,
I thought I was in a place where I could. And then I had this like little thing and I
went right back to the same pattern.
I realized, oh, I'm not in a healthy place to be in some sort of relationship. And I'm glad for it. I didn't, you know, do anything bad that I used to do to, like, cope or whatever. And I realized...
That's great.
Okay, this is good. This thing didn't end the way that I wanted it to, and that's fine, and I'm fine with that. And the lesson I learned is what I'm going to take with me.
Yeah.
And I mean, granted, I did just have, like, a manic episode, but it didn't have to do with that. They just come.
Wait, they just come. So are you on meds?
I am, yeah. I took myself off
just
my meds.
Was there a specific reason? Did you go, I don't need these anymore, I feel fine?
No, I would always do that. It's like going
my
to the
gym. My mom doesn't. It's like, how many times do you have to do it? Like,
that's
she never learns.
That's what I would always do. I would always do that. And that's what I would do with booze, where I'd be like, yo, I can handle this.
A beer.
That's the thing. When things get bad, I'm really good at being diligent. When things are good, I'm like, see, man, you can handle it. You deserve this.
No, when things, I'm so used to like bearing down in the chaos that I almost think now that I've been working on myself, when things are going really well is when I start to slip
up.
That's when I'm like, and my things are food and sex, but it's like, I'm not used to feeling calm.
Right.
So all of a sudden I'm okay. And it's like,
I'm not used to being.
Why don't I? Yeah, being instead of feel like.
That's why I eliminated everything. I, you know, no booze, no pills, no coke, no weed. And
no
then
coke.
I took sex
I'm kidding.
Out.
I don't even do coke.
Right? No coke. Like, you fucking pussy. And I have really been working on not just being, but allowing.
Yes.
Trying to allow.
Like when a feeling
like really
comes,
tough.
Just going, "This is happening."
Yeah. And you know, I had an allergic reaction. I messed up my dosage of this medicine by accident.
By accident? It's not like my mom where she's like, oops, I took too many of my pills today.
She's wearing a ball cap.
Yeah. She's like, I accidentally doubled my dosage of Xanax. How do you fuck that up? You work with numbers for a living.
Oh, God.
She's listening right now, probably. I love you, Mom.
Love you, Mom.
Please take your meds.
No, I'm on Lamictal.
Oh, okay.
And you have to start in small dosages and work your way up because if you dosage jump, you can get a rash, which can turn into Steven John syndrome, which is deadly. And they're like, look, when you take this, if you see any rash, you immediately stop taking it. You go to the dermatologist and you see your psychiatrist immediately. I'm like, okay, never got a rash, nothing. Did
the
pill
even
increases.
Bring up the increase? Sometimes I'm like, well, you're trying to get me so I can't ever get off of it. I get real weird about pills.
Right, right.
But
well,
wait, so what happened? I'm sorry.
So at a certain point, I went to my pharmacist, and they gave me the 100 instead of the 150. So then I had two bottles. I had a 100 and a 150 bottle.
You just fucked it up.
And accidentally, they were next to each other. So I was taking 100s, 150s, not knowing, just in
the
morning.
So you're just loopy all over your dosage. You're just fluctuating.
And all of a sudden, I get this rash all over my chest. I'm,
you're like, it's
happening. I didn't even notice it. I'm like, oh, whatever. Wasn't itching, nothing. Wasn't what the thing said that it would be.
You're like, no,
it wasn't like a deadly
kind of rash
thing. I just thought I had like an allergic reaction to like new detergent or whatever.
Like, oh, well,
whatever. So then it started to like get bigger and itch. And I didn't want to do anything to my meds because everything has been going like great. I'm feeling
like,
so
no,
good.
I feel good.
I don't want to jeopardize this. So then like I was in a manic downswing and was like, yeah, stop taking this so you can not have this rash. You don't want to die, right? So then I stopped for 2 or 3 days. Rash went away immediately. And I was so fucking outside myself in a bad way.
Yeah, how are you feeling? Like, just...
I mean, like, a friend of mine was like, dude, you looked empty. Like, I would just be, like, staring. Like, I felt like I was standing here and my mind was to
somewhere.
The right of me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, honestly, when I went on stage, I would be like, I don't want to fucking be here. This is what I... And I talked about it in a way that was like... Because I would try to be like, you know, I was on the train the other day, and here's a joke. And people were like, what the fuck? And I would be like, I don't want to be here. I'm fucking in a thing right now. And then I would just talk about it.
And people love that.
People loved it because it was like
real.
Honest and real.
That's
and
what
I
people
wasn't
love real.
My whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started taking it again. And for a couple days, I mean, I was just, my fucking mood swings were out of control.
Really? Did you do anything like.
I mean, dude,
reckless?
I almost fought a guy at a fucking bar show.
Oh, no.
Because he, like, interrupted a comic. And then I
you're
go,
like, hey,
I'm
bro.
Smoking cigarettes. I come back in, and he's standing up, finger pointing
at
his finger in
stage?
A chest. A different comic. Hey, don't fucking say that to me, man. He's drunk. So everyone's like, oh, my God. So I just fucking charge up, and I get in between. I'm like, yo, motherfucker, come outside and talk to me that way. Don't fucking talk to my friend that way, all right? And everyone's like, oh,
wow.
God. And the guy like,
Ian's
going to
get his ass kicked.
Friend, no, I would fucking... destroyed him.
Yeah.
I'm a lunatic, dude.
I know.
I've got my ass kicked before, but I got some
see
good
you.
Wins.
I don't want to see you get in a fight because you shouldn't get in fights, but
right.
I bet you fucking go ham.
Yeah, I lose my mind.
There's just hair flying everywhere.
Hair and mustache.
Your mustache flies
off. It's a Tasmanian devil, but you just see like curly hair and a mustache.
Can I just tell you something? I was talking to someone for probably, maybe we had been talking in a group conversation and to each other for like almost an hour last night, and he had a mustache. And then after an hour, I was like, I'm sorry. Is that a real mustache?
No.
And he's like, yeah. And I was like, look. He's like, do you want to pull it? And I was like, look, logically, I knew that it was real, but my brain was like.
Do you want to pull
is
it?
Is it a real? He seems like he might be wearing a fake mustache. I was like, I don't know. My brain works like a cartoon sometimes. And
oh,
I just.
That's so funny.
I needed you to say yes so my brain could relax. Fuck. Oh, so you almost got in a bar fight. What's the like furthest you've ever taken? Like, what's the quote? I know crazy is not, like, a good word to use, but because someone in a blog will get mad about it.
Right. Oh, fuck that.
And they're like, don't say crazy. It's like, don't say crazy when I lit myself on fire.
Speaking of blogs, this fucking dude, and then I had to go on stage, right? And he's like, he tried to shake my hand. I was like, get the fuck out of here, man. You're fucking drunk, you know? And then while I'm on stage, he tries to talk to the guy loudly, like, hey, man, can we talk? And I was like, oh, it's funny you want to talk to him now when you were interrupting his set earlier like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I was like, and you were trying to act tough like you were going to fucking hit my friend. Guess what? Fucking hit me. And you won't because you don't have the fucking heart. And I was like, you want to criticize and say shit about jokes? And I was like,
get a blog.
Leonard Bernstein said he's been around the world and he never saw a statue of a critic.
That's
like, that's what you are. You're a fucking critic.
Dude,
and no one will remember you when you die because you've never created anything.
Every critic is someone who's is too afraid to do their own art. It's like,
for
fuck
sure.
You. You won't take a risk. Your entire existence is judging people who are willing to put themselves out there.
For sure.
Like, fuck right off.
Yeah.
I literally will, like, I'm sure if I ever get a nice review in some important paper, I'll be like, this is cool, and I'll share it because you're supposed to. I do not give a fuck about what someone whose entire job is judging people's shit but never doing their own things of me.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. You've never taken a risk.
The only one I can respect is Roger Ebert.
Shut the fuck up. Siskel was better. I'm kidding. I don't know the difference. Why? What did Roger Ebert do?
Well, he was a critic, but you felt that when he didn't like a movie, he like felt it in his bones.
Like,
and he would also
hurt
celebrate
like
things. Yeah, yeah. Because
like,
he loved
like,
the
I
art
wanted,
of it so much.
Yeah, he's like, I wanted,
yeah.
He wanted everything to be great.
Yeah, and half these fucking people are people that try comedy, sucked at it,
and
then
they're
they
like,
take
now
their
I'm gonna
anger out on, yeah.
Start writing on fucking.
Well, guess what? We ain't the only ones that are mentally ill.
Comedy.net.
Okay? You know how many
just
people are walking around and they ain't got a full deck?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's why people like when we talk about it, because they're like, oh, I thought it's the same as being like, what's the deal with but like saying a thing that everyone does? And they're like, oh, we're all, you guys cry sometimes too?
Right.
I thought I was crazy. I thought I would just
no,
cry.
Crying's okay. Just, you know, don't.
It's not in front of me. Ew.
Do it in front of me or on Facebook.
Don't tell me about it. Yeah.
Oh, I got rid of Facebook and it feels so good.
You're off completely?
Yeah. I still have it, but I don't go on it. I took it off my phone.
I got rid of the app, but I still fucking,
I don't go on it.
Well, now I have a Facebook group for my listeners where people post questions and stuff. And like, it actually started when I didn't have my Facebook group and I had just an account under a fake name that I would just only do the group. I know
only
that's so crazy.
Only post positive things about yourself.
No, I would just be like, who has questions for this kind of guest? But like, actually, the reason I brought my, I was off it for, I think, a good month, and then I brought my account back so I could message New York Comics about shows.
Hilarious.
Because people are like, just,
I have
talk
my
to
account,
them on Facebook.
I have Messenger, I still get bookings and shit, but I don't go on Facebook, I don't read shit, I don't comment on shit, I don't like shit, I don't even look at my fucking page.
No, me neither. You know what I set
it
up?
It feels so good.
They have on Google Chrome, there's some sort of extension you can download, and I had my boyfriend at the time, doesn't matter, but he downloaded it because I don't know shit about computers, where it erases the feed, it's just gray, and it has an inspirational quote.
That's fucking stupid.
So like, if you're on there, you know, but you have to get on for like business,
right,
shit or whatever,
right.
And sometimes I use my computer and like just keep my phone away from me because I'll fucking keep doing compulsive,
right,
not work shit.
Well, dude, when I had like a terrible break with reality 2 years ago and I went on like Facebook insane,
oh no,
postings.
Really?
My girlfriend at the time, God bless her, went on my Facebook, changed my password so I couldn't go on.
Did that make you crazy? Were you like, someone changed my password?
No. I mean, I thought I was in a reality show and
Let's talk about this.
Producers were like telling me not to post and like telling me to go out and do things.
So wait. So 2 years ago you had like a psychotic break is what I guess it was called?
Yeah, it was a drug-induced psychotic break.
What drugs were you doing?
I was just
Pot. Pot, wow.
And it fucked with my bipolar. And I also had a thing where, like, I had a break with reality because it was around the time I, like, came out. And I never knew that I could, I thought I was going to die with that shit inside me.
Yeah, you're like, I have to.
I truly thought that I was going to die. And, dude, when that Pulse shooting happened, I was in a fucking trans bar. And I was like, God.
You weren't out? You were like sneaking?
No, I was sneaking around. And I was like, God damn. If I fucking, because I've been.
You're like, what if
I like,
died in here and hadn't come out?
And my whole family. I mean, I was on the low. I used to, you know, pick up dudes in the village. And
in
we'd be
bushes,
like making out. And guys would fucking, you know, you fucking faggots, get out of here. And I'm like, if I fucking get my ass beat
to
for
death,
like hooking up with
and
a
I
guy
never told
and
anyone,
no one knew.
And then that's how they find out. They don't get to hear you.
And so I thought I would never tell fucking anyone. I thought it was going to be to the death. And then when I started like telling people and people were like, I love you, it's okay.
I don't care how many dicks you suck.
I never knew that I could truly be happy with who I am. And so because I was, I didn't think it was real. And I thought that it was all set up around me.
Oh,
because
you're like, there's no way I'm actually happy.
Yep. There's
so
no
like
way
some
this is
Truman
real.
Show.
Yeah. And I thought something was going to happen where this mask was going to be pulled off and was like, haha, joke's on you. You could never be happy.
You've been punked by all of society.
And I'll tell you, I was coming out to my best friend, right? We were at this place called Joe's Burgers in the East Village, right?
Wow, Joe's also makes burgers, not
there
just
was
pizza.
There was a clown statue in the corner, right?
That's what, of course there was.
And I couldn't even verbalize at the time what it was. I didn't know if I was like bi or what, but I was like, listen, man, I gotta tell you, I'm like, it's like, sometimes I, he's like, say it, what's wrong, man? I'm like, I'm like kind of gay. And right when I said it, the clown went, it was like the fucking most perfect. We just broke out laughing and it was so funny. Fucking perfect.
Life is so beautiful.
It was, that was something outside
I'm like
of
crying
us
laughing.
That was like, it's all right, man. Look at this.
Life is so ridiculous.
Yes. And so I just like didn't know that I could ever be okay. And I totally had a break with reality. And I went on like this Facebook thing. I was posting all this shit.
What were you posting?
I was like, suck my dick, faggots. I think I'm gay. I love my mom. I'm having a party. I thought there was going to be a rap party for the show.
So wait,
at my
was this
apartment.
All in your head?
Yeah.
I woke
my whole apartment up at 3 a.m. pounding on everything. I called my mom and I was like, we did it. We rapped. We're done.
Were you hearing voices? Or it was just like...
Oh, yeah. I thought signs were telling me to do and say certain things. Like, you know when you turned on, like, iMessage when you were younger? It was like... Boop.
Yeah.
I heard that, and that would signal to me in my head to look at someone else to get a message from them. And then
and you would hear something? Or just,
they,
like...
And then in my
something
head...
Something would come to you?
And then they would pick up a glass of water to drink, and I was like, okay, they're telling me to now talk to him. Okay, hey, yeah, I'm really...
because you're like, oh, it's a low-key reality show.
Yes.
So that's feeding into
we
your psychotic break.
We can't let the
other
people
know.
We can't
let
the cameras and people that are recording know.
That we know.
That we know. It's because it's not ready for the reveal yet.
Wow.
And the reveal is going to be at the party that I just called my mom about and told her that we were going to have at my apartment.
Did she know this was all going on?
She was asleep at 3 a.m. and she's like, all right, honey, I love you.
And she just hangs up.
And, dude, my roommate was like texting. I think he was trying to call my psychiatrist and I thought he was calling the producers. Like, we got to wrap this up soon. We think he knows, you know. And he thought, because I had just come out, he thought that I was on crystal meth.
Oh, because that's like a thing that people say that,
He thought that I was fucking off the deep end on crystal meth.
Like, you're
meth.
Like, I'm out, and now I'm going to just
I'm sucking
do a bunch
20
of
dicks on the way to 20 more dicks, and I'm fucking, you know.
Yeah, you're just like, let's just suck meth out of a dick.
Right. And so, I mean, like, it was nuts, dude.
And it was just pot, and like, the way it...
And mania and bipolar
mania?
And this coming out. Prior to that, I thought a friend of mine worked for the government was trying to get me on insurance fraud. And so I couldn't use any sort of currency exchange because it would track me. So I walked home from the standing room all the way to my apartment in Brooklyn. Instead of using the train or a cab. And I wanted to get cigarettes, but I was like, I can't pay for it. And he was like, listen, man, I'll get you cigarettes right now. And I was like, yeah, because you're a fucking cop. And when they want people to confess, they get them like a burger and shit to like be their friend. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It was fucking nuts.
Wait,
man.
So, but did you eventually talk to your therapist about this? And she's like, he or she?
I mean, dude, the day after my girlfriend
and they just were like,
the
that's part of bipolar?
Took me in and they could tell something. And they were like, you know, do we hospitalize him? Whatever. And
did
I was
they?
Like, so fucking manic. No, they didn't. I told him I wouldn't go. I wasn't going to go. I had things to do, you know.
I'm on a show. I'm the star of a reality show.
Well, dude, the one night outside the show, this fucking guy is talking to me, and we're talking, and he's like, you know, we need to meet up. And in my head, I'm like, oh, he's a producer. Yeah. Yeah, man, let's meet up.
Wait,
we
was he
talk.
Trying to...
And he's like, well, you know, it'd be best if we meet at my apartment. I'm like, yeah, whatever makes you feel comfortable with me, I'll come over. Gave him my email address. And he's like, you'll hear from me sooner than you think. And I was like, yeah, hell yeah, man.
Of course I will,
because
I'm going to be a star.
When we sell this show, yo, we're all going to eat, right? He was just a gay man.
He was just trying to fuck you.
He was just trying to fuck me.
What? That hurts. Because you're like, wait.
Yeah.
Is this part of the show?
Right.
Is this what I have to, is what I got to do to get in Hollywood? / New York.
You know, I immediately went on medication.
How long did that last?
A couple days.
Okay.
And I immediately went on medication.
Had you been on and you went off of it? Or you?
I had never been on bipolar medicine. Always depression, anxiety. And I didn't
Did you not realize you were bipolar?
No, I didn't
You just thought you were depressed? And
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then
know.
You know, I would always have these swings and I just couldn't explain it, you know.
Yeah.
And then it all, like, made sense when I got, you know, diagnosed.
You're like,
but,
oh.
Yeah. And I used to have a thing, too, where I hated meds. Because it's like you feel like you're not your authentic self. I'm still on this thing. But
I think I also just because I see the way my mom reacts, and she's, I think, just on SSRIs. But when she, my mom is like a textbook borderline personality disorder, but right. she'll go off her antidepressants and crash.
Right.
Like she's gonna kill herself.
Right.
And I just read so much about how SSRIs are like that. And it's like once you're they're in your system, you can't just go off of them. Obviously, you can be weaned off and there's an appropriate way to do it. But like I remember when I first got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and he's like, all right, the doctor was like, this is the med we're going to start you on. And then, you know, he was like, if you're not feeling fatigued, like, you know, it should make you feel a little lethargic. And right. if you're not feeling, he said, if you're not feeling lethargic, we're going to up the dose.
Right.
And I was like, no.
Right.
I don't want to for what?
Right.
The goal is for me to be more fatigued. That's half right. my problem. I just feel like, and I know I sound like a little tinfoil hatty, but Western medicine is for treating symptoms. Like, and the doctors who are like, educated in Western medicine are taught like, oh, this hurts, take this. And I think a lot of times we don't go to the root of it. Like, I think a lot of physical and mental illness is like,
well, a lot of
sometimes we just
out,
treat the symptoms.
A lot of the acting out is a symptom of the
something.
Root problem.
Yeah. And a lot of times we just go, oh, you feel this way, take this, and that stops the feeling. And right. instead of going, let's figure out what's making you feel that way.
Right.
Like, and not that you shouldn't be able to take something. In the meantime, you're like, well, while we're figuring it out, yeah, give me something that fucking makes me right. not want to hang myself every day. But like, yeah, I do have a little bit of, I think I might be addicted to feelings too. That's mm-hmm. why when I start getting calm, instead of just going, I exist, I'm calm, I'm here in this moment, I go, I literally have a moment in my brain where I'm like, wait, like I feel like my insides are like, hello?
Right.
Where is that? There's not my chest isn't tightening. I don't feel right. scared or like jumping up and down with happiness or sad. Mm-hmm. Why don't I, like when I don't feel something, I'm like, am I dead?
Mm.
Hello, I'm dead?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what the point of all that was.
Well, I think that the fear is something.
I think I worry about with antidepressants or with certain medications that, like, antidepressants, by and large, don't make you happy. They just make you feel less. And I like feeling. Like, to me, I'm like, I want. And it might be that, like, that's not a healthy thing for me. I don't know.
Right, but your feelings are, our brains are broken. Our brains aren't like everyone else's brains.
Yeah, no, trauma changes
our
your brain.
Our wires in our brains are fucked up and are going, they're sparking. And the sparks are okay. The wiring being fucked up is okay. But sometimes you need something to lower the spark
for sure
so that it doesn't set other things
on fire
right
that's and a great
so
way to look at it.
Our disease sick head is like, no, we want fire, put the fire, make everything on
well,
fire.
It's especially
and
as an
like,
artist
no, but
though.
The spark is kind of cool in and of itself. The spark's fine, it doesn't need to set fire because at a certain point you run it out of ways of being able to put it out.
That's true. I guess it's just...
And as an artist,
it's yes, that line you,
that
line you
that.
Walk.
Like, dude, I want fucking mania. I want to be fucking you. Yeah. I want to be everywhere.
I love the highs.
Yes.
I get so much done. I get so many ideas, and it's like, but what? Where's the line? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and because it's like, yeah, if we had no...
And also, you going on and off your meds is, you know...
I just never go on them.
Another distraction.
Yeah.
Because I do have, and I'm working through it, a fear of being well. Because what if I'm, what
well,
if I
what's
end
your
up
identity?
Being okay? Then who am I? What's next? But, dude.
Well, people
and,
cling
and
to so
to be,
much.
Not to be like, you know, pluggy or droppy or whatever. But
no.
Fucking this is important, I think. It was really eye-opening for me. So I do the radio show every week.
Yeah.
And Henry Winkler came on.
Say the radio show.
You up with
just
Nikki
in case.
Laser?
Yeah. That's a great show.
Listen every week, Sirius.
Sirius XM, it's a great show. They get amazing
Channel
guests. Nikki, Tom, you're great.
Thanks. Yeah, it's so fun. And Henry Winkler came on.
I saw that and I was like, this is my dream guest.
Dude.
He's the best.
He is such a sweet, gentle, wonderful man. But he like said that he's not done. and that he is constantly moving forward towards reaching another thing, and the only way he can get there is through addressing the current thing that's like going on. You know what I mean? So it's like, no matter how much we fear that, well, then what? It's like there's always something,
it's gonna be something else.
And then you take that then what, and you use that as a little foundation to build upon the next.
Yeah.
You know? And like, dude, I watched this thing with Gabrielle Union. She said she's been in therapy for 23 years. And it's like, goddamn, our brains trick us into thinking, well, I'm done now, but you can always dig deeper. You can always mold it more. And our foundations are fucked up. So we're spending all... It took me so long to turn like realization and awareness into action. Mm. You know what I mean? And so now like I'm that foundation, I'm like sealing up the cracks and I'm making it stronger and stronger so I can build other things on.
Yeah.
And if I stop all this shit,
it crumbles, you think?
It will eventually in time. It will. It will, without a doubt. Faster sometimes than others, but it will always crumble. So you want to build and you want to keep making it stronger. And Henry fucking Winkler, look at this guy's fucking career.
I know.
He's still talking about being nervous at auditions. Like, did I get it? Am I, you know? And he's like that. To be that, to have that story of a career and to still want to work and want to have...
Do better and
to
do more.
Better and to still not take for granted, like, yeah, I'm Henry fucking Winkler. Of course I'm getting this role.
Yeah.
Not in an insecure way, like I'm nothing, but like still like having that thing of like the humbleness and the lack of ego to not think that things should just be given.
Yeah.
And I really respected that, and that really spoke to me.
Oh, I love that.
Because I think with bipolar 2, your ego gets out of control at times.
Yeah, like when you're like mania, you're like, I deserve.
You're like, I'm fucking God. I'm the bet. And it's like, chill out, man. Like, dude, I got a fucking, this is insane. I got a fucking commercial, right? And they had to shave my mustache. And I was like, I get work for my mustache, man. No, fuck you. Give me a mustache fee, right? And I shaved it. And I was like, wait a minute. ZZ Top wouldn't even shave their beards for Gillette for millions of dollars. And I shave my mustache for
no
an internet commercial. Who the fuck am I?
I'm a weak
man. And then
man.
I'm like, wait, who the fuck am I comparing myself to ZZ Top?
Yeah, ZZ Top.
What? You're not ZZ Top. You're fucking ZZ Bottom.
No, you're not a bottom. We discussed that.
No, no, I am a ZZ Top, but I'm not the ZZ Top.
You just put on a beard.
Yeah.
You only fuck men when you're wearing a ZZ Top costume.
That's why I had so many girlfriends. I was just always wearing beards.
I love you. Fuck, there's just so much there to unpack, and that's so interesting.
It is, and that's the cool thing.
Well, because I think I'm at the point in my growth or, you know, like working on myself where I'm at the realization. I've been there for a while, but I'm still in this, like, realizing things about myself, and I'm hitting this crossroads of, like, is this just a thing I have to know about myself? Or, like, is there actually things I can do?
You can. And it takes so long to turn that realization, that awareness into action. Because the toughest thing to do is to look yourself in the mirror and look deep down
and go like,
I'm not doing enough.
I could do better.
I need to work harder.
It's
and
me.
Not in a judgmental way of like, you're a piece of shit.
No,
just in
going,
an honest, flat out, being a friend to yourself.
Going,
someone
hey.
Said something to me. They go, you're my best friend and I love you and you are so fucking fun and cool. Why are you mean to my friend Ian? I want you to be nice and kind to my friend
Ian.
Because I like being nice to my friend Ian and a lot of people like my friend. So why don't you like your friend?
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God.
I'm gonna cry.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my
therapist. We're so mean to ourselves.
Yeah. And she was like, I want you to bring Ian into the room and be nice to him. Bring that healthy person in, you know? Because it's hard, man, because we didn't parent ourselves.
No, there was like.
And you have to. You gotta. It's. I have a
I mean,
real
nobody
hard time.
I had to parent myself. And.
Well, that's the thing. We had to parent ourselves, so we couldn't allow ourselves to be just kids.
No, it's like fucking do better. You have to fix the house. Like,
yeah, and I still have. There are things that come up in therapy that I walk out on, and I'm like, I can't talk about because it'll like ruin me. And one of them is like looking at that kid of who I was.
Oh, when people try to make me go to my inner child,
it's
crushes
so fucking
me.
Hard.
I've sobbed alone in my car on the road from. A text message from Dana Moon being like, you know what you need to do is like picture your inner child, like picture you as a child and give her a hug and tell her that it's okay.
Right.
If I'm going to cry right now.
I know. Like if
why
if
isn't
I,
my period come?
If I had to hug that kid when he got the news that his fucking dad is dead, like I would just fucking lose my shit.
Yeah, because you
know?
Like.
But he needs a hug.
Yeah, because like in the moment, it's like you're, when your parents, every parent fucks up. Even the ones who have good intentions and do a good job. And it's like, they didn't mean to not hug you in that moment. Or they didn't mean to, like,
right.
make you feel like you had to carry
but
their pain, too. But, like,
our parents are the extension of God. They
well, yeah, when
are
you're a
our
kid,
gods. And when you realize they have faults and failures,
that's
it's, like,
fucking,
seismic.
You're like, oh, so your whole reality is crushed.
Yeah.
So, like, having to see your parents struggle or go, like, oh, you're not.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
tough.
Yeah, and it's as like a little kid, you don't, especially when you're in a situation where you just like have the world on your back and you're like, I just have to keep going.
Right.
Because as a kid, you're not.
And that's the thing. You don't think about this shit. You don't get aware of it. You're just living.
You're
and
just
now
taking
we're
one step
aware
at a time.
Of it. It's like, okay, well, now do I just sit with it or I do something about it? You can sit with it for a while and that's okay.
Well, it's acknowledging it, but then it's like,
yes.
well, the figuring out, okay, what is the step to take is where I'm currently like working through.
Well, it's like you get to celebrate little victories. Like it fucking, I feel like such a fucking asshole being like, hey man, you got out of bed today.
Sometimes it's like I sent an email.
That's
to-do lists.
Huge.
Checking something off a to-do list shouldn't be as thrilling as it is,
right.
but I go like, look at that. You did it.
Well, dude, a friend of mine yesterday, she told me, she goes, you know, I have to be in constant contact with my body and listen to my body and, like, think, like, my heart is beating all the time. When you sleep, you go away and your heart is still working. Like, good job, buddy.
No, and it's like, especially
you know?
Anyone who has, and this maybe is an unfair assumption that women have a higher body image issues.
Right.
But
I feel it's true.
And I realized, because I went to this alternative therapist lady for a while who was like, sort of like a, take a bite of that sandwich, baby.
I'm
get
so
in there. He's got a whole sandwich in front of you guys. It looks delicious. And he's just been so, like, I would, you can fucking chew in the microphone. I don't give a fuck. I'm the grossest podcast host and guest. But, oh, is that the signal? That Asian lady pops up, starts sucking your dick.
You want dick suck?
Fuck, what were we just saying?
I don't know, but I have an answer for you, I think.
What? You don't know what we're saying, but you have an answer.
Yeah. About what's a step that you should do. It's as simple as being nice to your friend Jessica.
Yeah. Oh, the body image thing.
Right.
Real quick. She does, it's like acupressure. Like, you basically get down to your underwear and she, like, pushes on pressure points. And it's very weird. But, like, she'll find places where energy's trapped. And it's like, she'll show you somewhere else. I'm barely touching you. And you'll feel this excruciating pain. And it's literally, like, stuff getting released. But she is Israeli, and she would, like, rub my tummy. She would rub my tummy, and she would say these, like, sweet Hebrew things to it. And I, like, it's creepy saying out loud now, but, like, she was the one who, like, she talked to me, and she's like, this is your body. She's like, look, I know you look at your body. You go, I hate my stomach, but she's like, I'm going to cry. I think my period's coming, so I'm extra emotional. I'm always emotional. My period's, quote, always coming.
Cry.
Like, it's the wind. No, but, like, she's like, do you know how hard your stomach works every day? And then when I started thinking about my body, like
right.
parts of my body in terms of like me as a child, not someone going like I was neglected. Mm-hmm. And so I would like get good grades and my mom hated me. Why am I crying my own fucking podcast? I hate you, Ian. I love you, Ian. Oh, he's hugging me, you guys. So, well, I would think of like my body in terms of like, I'm just going, my fucking stomach, it's gross. And then I think of like my mom who is like, did her best, but she's like borderline and like
right.
really disliked me when I was a child. Like she loved my brother and just hated me. And it was like, I would get good grades. And like, I tried so hard at everything. And it was just like never enough. It was like, I was like so smart. And she'd be like, oh, you fucking think you're special because you're smart. And like, she didn't want me in a gifted program. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, fucking, you're going to be a snob. And like, I would just do well at sports. It was just like, whatever for the longest time.
And like Tanya Harding.
Oh God. Yeah. No,
I Tanya.
When that movie came out, I tweeted it, well, like when they announced the Oscar nominations, and I was like, "I hope, what is that actress's name? Allison Janny. I was like, I hope Allison Janny gets the Oscar for playing my mom. But like, and people go like, your mom wasn't that bad. And I'm like, ah, she was probably worse. But like, it came from a good place. She just has her own fucking issues, you know? Like, and she's, as an adult, been like, I don't fucking, I probably shouldn't have had kids. I love you. Thank God you turned out the way you did.
How old was she when she had you?
20. She was 30 when she had me. Mm-hmm. And she also had me through artificial insemination. The funny, but also like fucking thing is like, she tried so hard to have kids. And she's like, she had so many miscarriages. And she's like, I don't know why the fuck I wanted kids so bad. Mm-hmm. And I think this was, she's never officially said, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think a lot of parents don't.
But I think that was her making amends, was going, man, I did not know what I was doing. And she acknowledging that. And we laughed about it. It was so cathartic. But like, now I think I'll catch myself being like, oh, my fucking gross stomach. And I think of like, oh, my stomach's like digesting all this food and like breaking it down. It gives me nutrients. And like my fucking legs, I get mad. And like, because especially with my arthritis, I'm like, fucking ankles hurt. And I have to sit down and my hips hurt. And then I'm like, oh, they like, your legs take you around the world. Like, yeah. It's amazing what your body does. Like, look at these fucking eyes taking in everything around you.
Yeah.
And I just go, oh, I have a fucking lazy eye. And right? It's like, it's just crazy the way we shit on ourselves. And especially a body. Like, just the thing about your heart. Sorry, it's clearly a trigger. But I'm like, it's their fucking, like, you're checking out. And your heart's like, I don't clock out. I'm here for you, man. Like, I got you.
Yeah.
24/7. I will keep beating until you have one too many cheeseburgers. And then I'm fucking out, man. I did my best.
Yeah.
Like, you don't appreciate me. Right. That's what heart attacks are. It's like, hey, you've ignored my... Well, sometimes I almost think about that with my body pain, too, is, like, because I've tried to get... I literally just, from the body pain, I was like, I'll try anything. Like, do I need to talk to my bones? But sometimes I do think, like, pain things and physical symptoms, it's like... Especially, like, heart disease. Sometimes it's, like, happens out of nowhere. But even, like, lungs. Part of me is like, well, what if it's your body being, like... Fuck you, dude. You're just fucking sucking in smoke to me? Fuck off. Like, you get cancer. I don't care. Right. You've been hurting me for 25 years.
Right.
Now you're what? I'm going to hurt you. Like, sometimes I'm like, what if our bodies are spiteful?
Right.
Oh, you ate dairy? Well, guess what? Diarrhea, bitch.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I just went off on a fucking crazy tangent.
Good.
I love you.
I love you.
Can we just do our own therapy on a podcast every week?
Yeah, this is nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it nice for you, or did I just unload
on
you?
It really was. You didn't unload anything. It was great.
That felt good.
Yeah, good. Let it out. Listen to the birds chirping. I mean, what is better than this
right
now?
We're like outside. It's a perfect New York day.
Right?
And I cried on a patio. Yeah. On Ari Shaffir's patio.
That's right.
Thanks, Dad. You're not listening. What else? Okay. Final thoughts. Any last messages? Bipolar, bisexual, any things that you think maybe are like stereotypes I didn't mention that you would want to be like, hey, don't think this, or like, we're not all. Everyone knows we're not all.
Really love yourself and know that for however much you're struggling, someone else is
getting their dick sucked by someone with dirty Chinese dirty teeth.
We had like such a deep, wonderful discussion. It's just like the one takeaway is Chinese dirty teeth.
I'm sorry, go on.
That's what they were. I don't know what you want me to tell you. No, I mean, look, man, like everyone's going through their own shit. And we don't even know about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone has their own struggle.
When we get like angry or whatever at someone or like things like that, it's like, I don't even know. So it's like, you got to check in with yourself. You got to listen to your body. You got to, you know, part of your head wants you dead, and then the other part is trying to keep you alive.
What
you know?
A mind fuck.
It really is, man. Life is a mind fuck, dude.
It is. It's just this crazy roller coaster we're all riding, man.
Yeah, man.
We're just here.
Sometimes you get
so
off.
So is that
puke.
Lady with Chinese dirty teeth.
I don't know, man. Love yourself and love the people around you, and we're all going to fucking die.
What
Jesus
a great
Christ.
Message.
We're all going to fucking leave for work one day and we ain't going to come
home. And we're never coming home.
Yeah.
So I hope I don't die at work. Actually, our work's on stage. That'd be kind of funny. I hope I do, and people are like, great bit. And then they're like waiting.
Yeah. I don't know. Live a life that you want people to fucking talk about when you're done.
Not even that. Live a life that makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like, do the things that make you feel loved and happy.
Yes.
Because, like, yeah, money's cool, but we're all going to fucking just get eaten by worms.
And
I will. I don't want a casket.
Listen to yourself. Don't listen to anyone else but yourself.
Yeah. Listen to your heart. Where can people find you?
Oh, man. You can find me everywhere, dude.
Ian is literally on every fucking show in New York. It's insane.
Ah, you're a sweetheart.
at iAnimal on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's where I post there a lot. IanFidance.com, IanFidanceE.com for my dates in the city and being on a little road to Rooney. And Ian Finance's Wild World is the name of my podcast. You can download it on iTunes.
Do it, you guys. Do it. Yeah. Subscribe. He's great. Leave a review so he gets 5 stars and gets more reviews and more people find
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're wonderful. I love you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Me too. I'm still crying. I think Ari's here.
Oh, look at that. Perfect timing.
Or he's being robbed.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.